was St. Patrick's Day a couple of weeks ago, and Antonio Gamero was just closing the office. And as he was locking up, he looked out onto Valencia Street in the Mission District in San Francisco, and he saw a small group of nuns standing there. And immediately he thought, I don't want to talk about religion right now. Well, as it turns out, the nuns in question weren't there to talk doctrine or to debate dogma. They were actually there to participate in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's just that Gamero didn't quite realize it at the time. Because the sisters were there to complete a real estate transaction, and it's one of the more remarkable and improbable real estate deals that has been made in our market of sheer insanity. So maybe we should back up a bit. You might have heard this story already, but you see, back in January, this small group of nuns of the Order of the Fraternité Notre-Dame-Marie de Nazareth were facing eviction. For the past 8 years, these sisters, whose mission it is to help the most destitute people and those who suffer, they've been running a feeding program in the Tenderloin in San Francisco. They've been serving lunch for 300 people three times a week and dinner for 500 people twice a week. And what can only be seen as a French twist, the sisters earn the money they use to feed the hungry around them by baking delectable French pastries, which they then sell at farmers' markets. There are people here who have eaten said pastries at the Order in Chicago and attest that they are good. During the day, these nuns bake pastries and they cook lunches and dinners, and by night, they sleep in the rooms in the back of the kitchen. And then the nuns' lease came up. Now, they were worried, because it's not news that rents are skyrocketing all around San Francisco and throughout the Bay Area. And the free market being what it is, the landlord could make more money for that space, and so that's what he proposed to do, by raising the rent for the sisters 1 month to the next by 60%. Right? It's what the market can bear. And when they were interviewed about their predicament, Mary Valerie replied, "There's nowhere else for us to go. We need another place, maybe a church." But Mary of Angels was more focused on the present. "I cannot think of that right now," she said. "Right now, there are people to feed. And then, there are pastries to make. We are making fruit tarts today. I must stay busy." So, to refresh our collective memory, here's where we left off last week. In the Gospel according to Luke. "Then Joseph of Arimathea took the body down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment." This was their teacher, their leader, their mentor, their guide. And he was dead, had been killed by the state, painfully in humiliation. The women were there at the tomb simply because they loved him and because they wanted to give his body the dignity and the attention that it deserved. I know it's hard after centuries. We know how this story ends, right? But try to put yourself there at the mouth of the tomb early in the dark of morning. And you can feel the cool, dank air. And when you get there, imagine the shock of arriving. Finding that this stone, I don't know how they were going to move it, but the stone stone had been rolled away. The body was missing, and you have two blinding visions of people in dazzling clothes suddenly beside you. Can you grasp this terrified awe? I mean, who among us wouldn't bow to the ground, let alone faint dead away? And then they hear this most startling question from these visions in dazzling clothes. Why do you look for the living among the dead? It's a question unique to Luke's telling of this story. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And it's a question that is just as essential for these women who are braced for the stench of death as it is for us who struggle with this life. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do we do this over and over and over again? Why is it so hard for us to look, to lean into life? Well, we might say it's because death is expected. We see it all around us. Or perhaps I'm not sure that I can actually live like that. Or maybe because these powers, they are so strong. Or perhaps because it's just easier to give in to fear and despair and defeat. Or because I don't know that I can trust that light or life or love will be the final word. Friends, you may have many, many reasons why you have ended up here at the corner of Cedar Spruce this Sunday morning. But we are here this morning as a body because those faithful women and later those incredulous men came looking for death and they could hardly believe the life in front of them. This interconnected world being what it is, this news about the nuns' situation did not remain local for long. Offers of help came from around the bay and across the world and from a most unlikely place. That being 6'7" late-night television infomercial self-help guru Tony Robbins. Now, I realize that this is Easter Sunday, but it's time for a true confession. For my first paying gig in radio, I worked for Personal Achievement Radio. Yes, I did. It was Los Angeles, I was young, and I needed the money. The premise of Personal Achievement Radio is that we played snippets of self-help gurus like other stations played hit songs. A great premise, you might say. And some did. Some stations, you know, they might play hit songs by Justin Bieber or Kanye West or Adele. We played hits by Stephen Covey and Zig Ziglar and Norman Vincent Peale. And Tony Robbins, a fair amount of Tony Robbins, over and over and over again. And for me, it's what made this next turn in our story that much more incredible. You see, Tony Robbins, before he was an advisor to presidents and to CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and to Leonardo DiCaprio, he was a teenager in a family that was barely making it. In fact, at one point, they were homeless, living out of their car. And he remembers very well the day that they were really hungry and a complete stranger came by and gave them a basket of food. So when Robbins heard about this pending eviction while he was in town for a seminar, he stopped by this kitchen/bakery in the Tenderloin and offered to help. So I want you to imagine this for a moment. You've got all of 6'7", Tony Robbins, that wide, amazing, sparkling smile, And around him, these like diminutive French nuns in their habits. I was so inspired by their story. He said, I was deeply touched that not only are they feeding people, but their entire lives are spent towards loving and taking care of people. I was struck by it, and I trust my instincts. I have a deep love for the nuns, and I want them to be able to put all their efforts into doing the wonderful things that they do. So, he gave $25,000 towards their rent, and he pledged to stay involved, bringing this into what he calls a virtuous circle. In all the pain and suffering that exists for thousands in and around the Tenderloin, and in the midst of soul-deadening scramble for market capitalization, these nuns, with their simple free-will gift of life, they stand out. It is not a surprise that the apostles heard this startling news from the women, and they heard it to be an idle tale, or more truly to the Greek, the ranting of delirium. When many of us today hear the word resurrection, we have little space for it. Death and the death-dealing ways of this world, violence, retribution, isolation, domination, we are told that they are to be fought with force, or at the least, endured. In these past few weeks alone, I don't know that we need much more evidence for this death-dealing around us. The slaughter in Côte d'Ivoire, the bombing in Ankara, Istanbul, Brussels, the outskirts of Baghdad, and this morning Lahore in Pakistan, they tell it all too well. And deafening alongside this has been a flood of vitriol. It's been divisive, corrosive, and seemingly designed to sow distrust. The fear of death is what seems to be motivating many this political season. And to be honest, if I am not careful, it is far too easy for me to be swept into this polarizing current. And yet for us, it is no different than for those disciples who, aside from those courageous women, those disciples who were hiding behind locked doors out of fear. Just as this day, some insist that our only path to safety and security lies behind high walls. So what is the faithful road? Well, the situation with the French nuns has changed again, because the reason that they were visiting Antonio Gamero's office recently was because they were looking for a new permanent space for their kitchen. And within days, Gamero had found one for $750,000, which the nuns bought with cash. It's located next door to a navigation center, which is a holistic center for services for those who are homeless. Now, bought with cash, you might say. Nuns. How on earth does that happen? Well, here's Gamero's conversation with the escrow officer for the sale. They were like, who's the buyer? And I said, Tony Robbins. And she just laughed at me and said, who's the buyer? And I said, no, seriously, it's Tony Robbins. And there was like dead silence for about a minute. And then she was like, I need to call you back, actually. And then there was this conversation with the finance officer for the seller. They literally laughed at me on the phone when I said Tony Robbins, the Tony Robbins, wanted to buy the place for cash. I said, tell me, dude, this whole thing is an honor for me. I was worried about talking religion with nuns at the door. This whole thing is an honor for me. I suppose this was one of the parts of our story that caught my attention. Yes, Tony Robbins reached out to some wealthy donors, and then he gave very generously for this to happen. But If in the words of Nancy Godwin, if the resurrection is the possibility of possibility, this series of acts that started with Tony Robbins has continued to create, opening up possibility where none seemed conceivable. This is the sense I have of resurrection, friends, that when this self-giving, radical, crazy love is on the move, people are drawn in, almost as if they cannot help themselves but take part. There is goodness, life, joy, compassion. It is a truth which sets us free. For trust in the resurrection is not simply about life after death. It is also about trusting that there will be another day after the darkest of night. Trusting that though death and violence and the shackles of fear will have their say, and they will, they do not have the final word. There are those who this day are grasping for power and who deride followers of the Prince of Peace as naive at best and dangerous at worst. But if we are to walk this road to Jerusalem and Calvary and beyond, we cannot be willing to leave even them behind. The wolf and the lamb, the kid and the leopard, together. Our salvation, our wholeness, cannot be made complete without them. And this can be easy for us to forget on a day like today, for it is glorious. The sun is shining, the flowers are in bloom. It is easy to sing with joy this morning. But tomorrow, work beckons. The school bell rings. The news cycle spins. The purveyors of death, they keep watch as well. And this is actually why we gather this morning, to remember. To remember that as followers of Jesus the Christ, we are to look for the living. We are disciples. We are followers of life in all its forms. And to those places of death, of isolation, of pain, of distrust, and of fear, you and I, we are to walk arm in arm, trusting that it is the risen one who walks before us, every step opening the way of life.